Let's move on to number three, shall we? Number three is to be helpful in all that I do. And this is how the Holy Spirit wrote that out for me. It's not exactly what we were just talking about. Okay, to be helpful in all that I do. I remember that the ego mind does not know, and so I easily dismiss the thoughts that come from that part of the mind. I am helpful to everyone by listening only to the Holy Spirit. I am helpful to everyone by trusting our oneness to guide me in all that I do. So that one was very, very short, but I think one of my favorite parts of that, again, because it wasn't at all true for me at the time when the Holy Spirit gave it to me, is where it says, I do remember that the ego mind doesn't know anything, and so I easily dismiss the thoughts that come from that part of the mind. I love that. I easily dismiss those thoughts when I see them because I know that part of the mind doesn't mean anything. And again, if you're someone who observes me closely, I know some of you really are here like every time I teach and read everything I write, and if you observe me that closely, well then you know that I have fallen in love with I don't know, and you also know that I let go of the ego much easier now. You know, I can see a thought and let it go in an instant in most cases. Occasionally a rougher attack comes in. I had something come into my mind last weekend that really took all weekend to let it go. But that's rare for me now. Usually a thought comes in, I let it go, boom, it's done. Just easily, just like this says. But I wasn't there when this came. So you can see how the focus and meditation on this, using the power of the secret, has brought this experience to me. So we're not really talking about attracting things now, right? We're talking about attracting experience, or allowing experience to be realized. So let me read this again. And again, you'll notice it's written in the present tense, even though it was not my present experience at the time. I remember that the ego mind does not know, and so I easily dismiss the thoughts that come from that part of the mind. I am helpful to everyone by listening only to the Holy Spirit. I am helpful to everyone by trusting our oneness to guide me and all that I do. And yes, we are on number three. So I also love that last line, because remember a while ago I talked about a mistake that people make with the secret is they think that the cause is the individual. So again, I can attract, you know, specifically the man across the street to fall in love with me because I am cause and he is effect. And that is not true. He is equal cause. So if he's not focusing on wanting to attract me, you know, or not wanting to attract anybody at all in particular, you know, that's not going to work. The universe isn't going to put that together. The universe is only going to put together that which is a match. It has to be a match. Because we're cause together. We are cause together. We are not cause as separate individuals. We are one cause, regardless of how we experience ourselves. We are one cause. So I love this last sentence because it says, I am helpful to everyone by trusting our oneness to guide me in all that I do. In other words, what that sentence is really saying is that when I receive guidance from the Holy Spirit and I follow that guidance is really coming from our oneness. That guidance is coming from, in effect, if you, again, this is a symbol, but if you imagine this symbol, imagine all 6 billion of us have different desires, and these different desires are going up to some place where they are organized, it's figured out where the best fits are, and then it comes back down as guidance. So the guidance that comes to me isn't just for me, and Holy Spirit told me this also in NTI Acts. The guidance that comes to me isn't just for me. What comes to me as guidance is what is in the best interests of everyone. And it's literally coming from our oneness. It's literally coming from us. That's what the Holy Spirit is. It's the us. So I am helpful to everyone by trusting our oneness to guide me in all that I do. I love that sentence because it's very clear about where the guidance is coming from, and it's very clear about what the purpose of the guidance is. It is to awaken our one mind. So that is to be helpful in all that I do. Once again, I'll let go of the mic and see if anybody wants to comment on that before we move on to number four. Take it away, Lenny.
Oh, a thought's coming up because this I've mentioned before. If anyone remembers What the Bleep, do we know the movie? And you remember where the child was playing with the basketball, bouncing the basketball, and he said it never touches. And they show where objects never really touch. So the law of attraction, for me, is to eventually attract the happy dream, but eventually the law of attraction gets dissolved into oneness where there is no attraction. Everything is already one. There's no need to attract oneness. And so, but until we get to that place, the law of attraction is still part of, let's say, getting back our power. If we don't get back our power as co-creators, that means it's not just leaving it up to the Holy Spirit to decide. It's not just leaving it up to God to decide. No, we will take back our rightful inheritance of being co-creators, which means there is no right creation or wrong creation. It's all good. And we can create whatever we want without guilt, without fear, without denial. We will be creating, and we already, and supposedly what I hear, we're still creating, because we haven't really left the kingdom of God, so our creations are all intact, and we don't have to ask God, we don't have to, in my opinion at least, we don't have to ask the Holy Spirit. Once we're in that state, and we can reach that, at least claim that state right now, act as if we are in that state, then we can just create. And if I want to win the lottery, I can, but knowing that if I don't win, that's good too. That's not going to affect my happiness, my joy, my peace, my love. So, in truth, the law of attraction, there is no duality. There is no second being or substance or anything that we have to attract ourselves to. But while we're in the dream, I think, yes, we have to take back our power. Thank you.
Thank you, Lenny. Brother Dave, please take the mic.
The experience of oneness, it's not really attracting anything. What it is, it's revealing. It's a revelation. It's a revelation that only God is here. And therefore, only joy, only love, only peace is here. And all those things in the dream that attend to it. And so it appears that things are being attracted to you, but what is actually happening is revelation is taking place, where the rose-colored glasses, the glass darklies you've been looking through the ego mind, are now being taken off, and now you see what is really true and what is really real. And so in that revelations, it appears that these things come onto you, but actually the revelation is to show you they have always been there.
Thank you, my love. Yeah, Dortha is writing out a definition of love that the Holy Spirit gave me last November. The Holy Spirit told me love is spirit giving to spirit through spirit that which spirit requests. And you know, I've always thought I'd like to have that on a t-shirt. Maybe someday somebody will show up and put that on t-shirts for us, because that is not in NTI. The Holy Spirit gave me that in a you know, just another personal conversation, so it's not written down in NTI for us anywhere. So if anybody's a t-shirt maker, we need t-shirts with that quote on it. I'd love to have one red with white letters. Yeah, Rev Mary, please take the mic.
I was just wondering how many t-shirts Regina wanted. I can get that to you ASAP.
I personally only need one there, Rev Mary. You might want to take orders. You might be able to sell a few. We could probably, you know, if you really want to make T-shirts, I could probably send you the exact wording that the Holy Spirit gave me, because Dorothy's kind of paraphrasing there, I think. But I could find that and give you the exact wording, and you could maybe sell them on the peace of God or something. So, you know, send me your email address, and I will send you the exact wording from the Holy Spirit. All right, let's move on, shall we? We're ready for number four. Number four. To have faith in my truth and to bring only that into my awareness. So here's the wording the Holy Spirit gave me. My truth seems to be a learning process because I have allowed that which isn't truth to be within my awareness. Now I have become enlightened and I consistently choose again. I choose only the thoughts of the Holy Spirit because I realize that they represent my truth. Because I choose only them, they are all that I know. Okay, so again, you know, this is really interesting. Again, the Holy Spirit writes this in present tense. Notice the Holy Spirit has me meditating on, now I have become enlightened. This is what Holy Spirit has me meditating on. Now, I have become enlightened, and I consistently choose again. Notice how that is being defined, that being enlightened is being defined as consistently choose again. You know, I always look at the... So it's not saying that the ego thoughts aren't still coming in the mind. It's really saying that I know which thoughts to listen to, and I know which thoughts to totally ignore. That's how the Holy Spirit is defining enlightenment here. So let me read this one more time. My truth seems to be a learning process because I have allowed that which isn't truth to be within my awareness. Now I have become enlightened and I consistently choose again. I choose only the thoughts of the Holy Spirit because I realize that they represent my truth. Because I choose only them, they are all that I know. Yeah, Steve, please take the mic.
Yeah, I was just kind of hearing this one. I was kind of trying to wait for this, but the allowing part of it, I guess, is what I was hearing you say. You know, what I was getting out of it was that you're allowing your right mind to help you remove all of the blocks to the awareness of love's presence, kind of like your tunnel of love metaphor or vision that you had, where the Holy Spirit is actually loosening the bricks, which are the blocks of awareness of love's presence, to make it easier to pull out. So I guess I'm just thinking that you're again kind of letting God decide for God, or letting Holy Spirit decide for God for you, or choose for God for you. So it's just the allowing part of it, I think, is the part that stands out for me right now, or the letting it be done for us, or allowing it to be done for us by our right mind, you know, through the Holy Spirit. So that's what I thought I was getting out of that. Our right mind is just helping us remove the blocks to the awareness of love's presence. And like the Course says, you don't have to seek for love. We just have to remove all the blocks to the awareness of the love's presence, and then that's all that's left. So at least that's what I thought I was kind of getting out of what you were reading there and stuff like that. So thanks again for letting me share.
Thank you, Steve. All right, shall we move on to number five then? Number five. And to me, each of these were also a bit of a stair step. So number five to me was the highest of the five. It felt like when you reach number five, the other four are already, they're done, you know, so they're done, or else you could never have gotten to number five. Number five is to know my connection to all things and to know all things as myself. And here is the wording. Joy is the expression of truth. And expression is the celebration of conscious knowledge. I'm just going to stop right there because I remember writing that sentence and being very, very aware that what the Holy Spirit is saying is that joy is the expression of having our enlightenment, which already is, or I couldn't be seeing it in people, but having that be our only conscious experience. Right now, the truth is our enlightenment often is unconscious. It's down in the unconscious. And in fact, if you look at the Ur text, it kind of paints a picture where way down in the unconscious is our enlightenment or the Holy Spirit. Above that, still in our unconscious, is the ego. And then above that is the conscious mind. So it's almost like, all of that ego, which is unconscious, has to be erased or undone, right? Remove the blocks to love's presence so that the enlightenment can raise up, up, up into our consciousness. And then the enlightenment that already is, it's already there, but it's unconscious to us, becomes our conscious experience. It is what we know all the time. And so that's really what this is saying, that true joy is the celebration of our enlightenment as a conscious experience. That's really true joy. So let me start again. Joy is the expression of truth. And expression is the celebration of conscious knowledge. I have let go of all belief in anything that is false. And now I see within illusion with the eyes of truth. I love all things because I know what it is that I see. I embrace all things because I know that I embrace only love. I am all things because I know there are no longer any shadows or any doubt. Now there is only light. In joy and gratitude, I cease to speak. I look on perfect love. I don't know how you guys feel about that, but to me that's like, wow, wow. And the Holy Spirit has me meditating on that. You know what that means? That means I'm going to get there. That's what that means. Because I've already seen some of these manifest into my experience. I already know this process is working. That's where I'm headed. And that's what you were talking about, Dave, when you said that really what I'm doing is preparing myself so the next time I get to that eye of the needle experience, there won't be fear and I'll just go right on. And you can see that number five is that point. That's what this leads up to. Number five is that point. One thing that's really interesting is that enlightenment came at step number four. I think sometimes we think of enlightenment as the I'm done. I talked about this a few weeks ago. I'm enlightened, I'm done. We have that idea in our mind. But enlightenment here was step number four. Step number four, Holy Spirit said, now I am enlightened. That was not yet done because we were still working towards this number five. And in fact, I made a post a few weeks ago where I quoted Peace Pilgrim, where she said, in effect, the same thing. She talked about when she got to that point where the struggle with the ego was over. That would be the point of enlightenment. That's what number four is saying here, is that now I have become enlightened and I consistently choose again. I choose only the thoughts of the Holy Spirit, right? So that's enlightenment. But Peace Pilgrim also said, however, once the struggle is over, the growing continues. It's just now it's all in harmony, but it continues. So what happens is we reach enlightenment, where the struggle with the ego is over, but we are still growing within the illusion to this experience of number five. So enlightenment is not done. It's not done. We are still growing to this experience of number five. And listen again, you might even want to close your eyes because listen, this is still within the illusion, all right? But listen to how beautiful these last steps within the illusion are. How beautiful, how happy this dream is. And again, the happy dream is not about having money, having the guy across the street fall in love with me, right? That's not the happy dream. And sometimes people get confused. They think the happy dream is having everything I want. But if you listen to this, this is the happy dream. This is the happy dream. Number five. Are you ready? Here we go. Joy is the expression of truth, and expression is the celebration of conscious knowledge. I have let go of all belief in anything that is false. And now I see within illusion with the eyes of truth. I love all things because I know what it is that I see. I embrace all things because I know that I embrace only love. I am all things because I know. There are no longer any shadows or any doubt. Now there is only light. In joy and gratitude, I cease to speak. I look on perfect love. That's step number 5 that the Holy Spirit gave me to meditate on, because the Holy Spirit said, that is what I truly want. I will let go of the mic and see if anybody has anything to say. It looks like that one left you speechless. It's the first one, you know, that left you speechless. Yeah. The first one that left you speechless. So this is what the Holy Spirit gave me in order to use the secret for the purpose of awakening. It's still using the secret. It's still using everything they teach in the secret. But notice it is not focusing on attracting money, attracting the romance, you know, whatever else I want to attract. It's focusing on attracting these things. But you know what's really, really interesting? And now we're going back to the overview that Dave the Wave gave us. What's really, really interesting is that the law, seek ye first the kingdom, and all else will be added to you, is embedded in this. So what that means is I focus on this. This is what I focus on. And the Holy Spirit takes care of bringing me what I seem to need within the world, either because I still seem to have needs, like I still seem to need to have a roof over my head, I'm still raising a child, I still seem to need to eat, I still seem to have needs. So Holy Spirit takes care of bringing those things to me. Holy Spirit also takes care of bringing things to me that do not seem to be needs. I mean, the trip to China was not anything I needed. It was something that I had planned for myself many years ago, and I had planned to do it this year. But when this year rolled around and I looked at that and I thought, well, you know, we can't really afford that right now. I'll just let that go. And if we're meant to go to China, we will. And if you guys know the story, you know, the same day that I said that, that night the phone rang with an invitation to go to China, all expenses paid. So that's not even a need. The Holy Spirit brought me something I didn't even need. It was just a kiss from the Holy Spirit. Here, go to China, you know? So it's not even just the need level. No, it didn't take long at all, Cliff. It was within, you know, 10 hours when the phone call came. You know, the Holy Spirit is bringing things to me that I didn't ever even think about. You know, there's no way that I could have consciously attracted these things to me, because it never crossed my mind to even think about them. You know, like most recently, some of you may be aware that a new relationship has come into my life, which is extremely helpful to me. But I am not one who sat around and focused on, you know, I want a relationship. I wasn't, it never crossed my mind. And yet, it's something that is very, very useful to me in my awakening, and it showed up. So it really is, seek ye first the kingdom, and all else will be added to you. I don't have to worry about sitting around in the morning and envisioning myself with money, or envisioning myself with anything else in the world that I may seem to need or want. Because if I envision this, then the Holy Spirit, which as Steve said earlier, knows what is best for me, brings everything else to me. And as I've said earlier, that there's no sacrifice. I'm not experiencing any sacrifice. In fact, my experience is what I am receiving is beyond my wildest dreams. That's what my experience is. My experience is, if I had sat down with my little list, my first list, and tried to attract that, that I would have been limiting myself. And by instead seeking first the kingdom and focusing on the list that the Holy Spirit gave me, I am now unlimited. And things are showing up that I never expected, and I love it. And in fact, as I mentioned the other day, in December, when Holy Spirit was asking me to surrender more and more, one of the messages Holy Spirit gave me ended with, "Many surprises await you." That was how the post ended. Many surprises await you. And I'll tell you what, the surprises started kicking in within a week or two of receiving that message, and it's just been surprise after surprise after surprise. And I was telling them the other day, I can't even list them all. All the things that have come up that I did not in any way consciously go after. In any way. I didn't try and make it happen through human effort. I didn't try to make it happen through using the secret and envisioning it. In no way did I try to consciously make it happen. I just focused on this, and then everything else came. Seek ye first the kingdom, and all else will be added to you. And I'll tell you, the ego doesn't want to do that. The ego does not want to do that. The ego tells you that you can't trust the Holy Spirit. Hold on, I have to cough. The ego tells you that you can't trust the Holy Spirit. And if you surrender to the Holy Spirit and you seek ye first the kingdom, that you're going to suffer in some way. You know, like you're going to have to do without money. You're going to have to do without romance. You're going to have to do without something. And that in the only way that you can get what you want is for you to make it happen. That's the only way you can get what you want. And there are a couple of different ways you can make it happen. One is, you know, within the physicality of the world, you know, go to singles bars and find your man. Or the other might be, you know, practicing the secret and envisioning finding the man. But it's still your effort. Even practicing the secret and envisioning finding the man is through your effort. It's a different kind of effort, and it's a great learning, because you learn the power of the mind, but it's still your effort. What happens when you focus on only the kingdom and you totally forget about the man or the money, and you really focus on what you truly, truly want, is all that stuff that, you know, assuming it's still useful for you, all that stuff shows up anyway. And if it didn't, trust me, you won't miss it, because something else showed up that you realized you wanted anymore. Everything else still shows up, but it doesn't show up through your effort. You know you didn't go out and get it. You know you didn't make it happen. You know you didn't even use the secret to attract it, because you were focusing on the kingdom. But yet, all else was added to you. And this reminds me of, it's actually another teaching I did earlier this year, but I'm going to refer back to it quickly. There was one point when I was having a grievance. In fact, this seems to have been the last real grievance that I've had. I haven't noticed what I would call a grievance in my mind since this one. I think this was around January or early February. There was a grievance in my mind that I just couldn't shake. And that was the grievance against people who seemed to not walk their talk, who, you know, I got to know well enough on a personal basis that I knew that they would say one thing in a public forum and then do another, you know, in a private inner circle. And I really had a strong grievance against the people that I knew were doing this. And the funny thing about it was, you know, of course, the Course teaches that, you know, anytime we have a grievance, that's a projection of something in our own mind. But in this case, I just couldn't find it, because if anyone knows me, if you come and live with me for a while, I believe the experience you will have is that I do my best to walk my talk. It doesn't mean that I don't slip occasionally, but I do my best. There is no hidden agenda here. You know, I am really practicing to the best of my ability everything that I teach and learn. So I couldn't understand why I had this grievance when I seemed to really try my best to walk my talk, but I had this strong grievance against people who didn't. I couldn't figure out the projection thing in that case. So what happened was, one day Holy Spirit came to me, and Holy Spirit asked me again to make a list of what I wanted. So this wasn't Holy Spirit giving me a list. He was asking, you know, Regina, the personality as it existed at the time, to sit down and make a list. And let me see, I have that list here somewhere for you. Here it is. So I made a list, and this came from the personality. Okay, this wasn't a list given by the Holy Spirit. Now, my list had changed somewhat from what the personality would have made 6 months earlier. You could call it an improved list. You can see more fading of the personality here and more merging of the Holy Spirit in this list, but they're both here. So here is the list. I said, I want a house to live in. I want financial security or comfort. I want Jasmine's happiness, a perfect flow between her desires and mine. I want the joy of serving the Holy Spirit, the joy of teaching everyone that they are love by being love myself. I want health and happiness. I want consistent and confident inner listening and guidance. I want to know thyself truly beyond all doubt. Those were the things on the list. And if you know the story, then you know what happened to me after this is that a lot of guilt started coming up. A lot of guilt. And the guilt came up because of the first two things on the list, that I wanted a house to live in and I wanted financial security and comfort. And of course, I had been meditating now several months on I want only what the Holy Spirit wants. And what was happening in my mind is I was thinking I was breaking that promise by wanting a house to live in and financial security and comfort. And in fact, for 3 days, the guilt that came up was enormous. And for 3 days, I begged, literally begged the Holy Spirit to let me change the list. If I could just take those two things off the list, I thought I wouldn't feel so guilty. And the Holy Spirit would say, no, you know, don't change the list. Let go of the guilt. And I'll be honest, it was a little annoying. The Holy Spirit can be annoying sometimes when your resistance is high. My resistance was high and it was a little annoying, but I obeyed. I always obey the Holy Spirit. So I obeyed and I did not change the list and I continued to let go of the guilt. What happened as a result of this is that that final grievance disappeared. Because this is what I was projecting onto those who didn't walk their talk. I, at an unconscious level, it was not in my conscious mind, which is why I couldn't figure it out. But at an unconscious level, I thought that because I wanted a house to live in and because I wanted financial security and comfort, that I was a hypocrite, that I wasn't walking my talk. And that is what was being projected onto others and was a grievance. So after Holy Spirit helped me to let go of all of that guilt and to accept my list, the grievance just disappeared. So the projection thing is true, folks. Even if you can't find what it is you're projecting, it's unconscious, but the projection thing is true. Because once I forgave this in my own mind, I no longer had a grievance against the individuals. But I want to talk about this for another reason, too. We talked about seek ye first the kingdom and all else will be added to you. And look, you know, again, I have this on my list. I want a house to live in. I want financial security and comfort. And remember, Holy Spirit kept saying, don't change the list. Don't change the list, right? Well, listen to what Holy Spirit told me about this list. The Holy Spirit said, this perfect list, which captures your heart's desire, and of course this is talking to the personality at this point, all right? This perfect list, which captures your heart's desire, is my will or my guidance for you. So the Holy Spirit is saying, these things that you want, I gift to you. Accept this list as my guidance and my gift. Accept it as yours. Accept it as done. All that you need to do to receive every gift on this list is to trust in the gift. So trust that you will always have a house to live in. Trust that you will always be financially secure. When thoughts come into the mind that distract you from the certainty of these gifts, say no to those thoughts. Remember that your only function is to trust in the gifts. By trusting in the gifts, you will be led to them. Now listen to this. Do not make them for yourself. I'm going to say that again. Do not make them for yourself. And to me, that meant don't do it in the physical world. Like, don't go out and get a job, you know, of your own idea. You know, when I'm not guiding you, don't go out and get a job to make money. But also, don't use the secret. Don't sit around and consciously envision bringing these things to you. Because if you achieve these gifts through either of those ways, you won't recognize their gifts. You're going to think, I did this. Either I went out and got the job, or I attracted it through my visioning. So again, Holy Spirit says, do not make them for yourself. For what you make is not given, and so it is not a gift. Wait in anticipation for the day that I give the gift to you, for on that day you shall truly rejoice when you see that the gift is from me and not through your thinking or your effort. You shall know truly that which is my name, with a capital N. In knowing my name, you learn your name, with a capital N. In learning your name, fear is no more. So what the Holy Spirit is really saying here is that by, you know, recognizing there are these things that I think that I need in the world, you know, and the idea of not having them scares me. So recognize that is true. These are things I think I need in the world. But in effect, within your mind, Regina, just put them on the back burner and trust that they're done. They're done. You know, I'm not gonna scare you. That's not what I'm here for. I'm the Holy Spirit. I'm here to teach you to let go of fear. I'm not here to scare the shit out of you. So just consider those things done. These are things you think you need. They're done. Forget about it. What I want you to do is focus on the kingdom. And as you focus on the kingdom, and you then see how I bring these things to you in ways that you never expected, this is how you're going to learn what I am, and therefore how you're going to learn what you are, and that's how fear will disappear. So notice how the Holy Spirit is not teaching any judgment of my desires. The Holy Spirit is not telling me I'm a hypocrite because I want a house to live in and financial security. These are things that I still feel I need, or to be honest, I'd be scared shitless. And the Holy Spirit recognizes that. Yeah, you still think you need these. Great. But don't focus on them. Put them aside. Just trust it is done. And you know, this is in A Course in Miracles too. There is a paragraph in A Course in Miracles that says everything you need, or everything you think you need in the world, will be given as long as you think you need it. Nothing is going to be taken away. The Holy Spirit is not here to pull the rug out from under you and scare the shit out of you. The Holy Spirit is here to help you let go of your fear. Now, that doesn't mean that changes don't happen in your life, because sometimes we've built a certain life for us, and once we give ourselves to the Holy Spirit, there have to be changes. You all remember, again, that I was guided to leave my job. I was guided to move to a new location. But that was also all done gently. You know, I was very afraid in the process, but that was my own fear. Holy Spirit took care of everything along the way, even as I discussed last Sunday night, even so much as giving me the realtor that I needed, you know, providing the realtor. So the rug was not ripped out from underneath me and left me standing there scared. I was guided to make some changes, and everything I needed to make those changes was provided. The fear just came from me. Holy Spirit is not the teacher of fear. And anything that we really seem to need within the world, so not to be panicked, will be provided as long as we continue to think we need it. And then if we come to the point that we don't think we need it anymore, well, then obviously we're not going to care. So we don't have to seek anything but the kingdom. We just don't. Seek ye first the kingdom, and all else will be added to you. And again, this is if you want to awaken. This is if you have a conscious desire to awaken, which I know many, if not all of you in this room do. That's how we use the secret. We trust that anything in the world that we need, and even some of the things in the world that we want, like a trip to China, they're going to be given. We don't even give those things a thought. We don't even give those things a thought. We know we can trust the Holy Spirit. That's all we need to know. We focus our visioning. We focus our affirmations, we focus our attention on seek ye first the kingdom. I'm going to let go of the mic and see if anybody has anything to share. Yes, Dave, please take the mic.
Well, we know that the only problem is separation, and of course the solution happens immediately. It didn't happen. Separation didn't happen. Now, in the mind, when we believe in separation, we believe we have separated from our source, from God. Now, God is everything. God doesn't have everything. God is everything. And in the kingdom, in heaven, We have everything because we are one with God who is everything. When we believe in separation, we feel we must desire. We must go out and get it because we lost it. To desire something, to want something, is to imagine that it isn't here now. And we need to seek it, seek for it. This doesn't just apply to material things or things in general. This also applies to your idea that I must go seek the kingdom of heaven, that I must go seek God. You are one with God, as Tom Carpenter and Linda Carpenter always says, you are awake. It is already done. And it is that easy. This is what the Course is all about. It's a done deal. You are the kingdom. You are here now. You need seek for nothing. It's completely already, you know, you never did separate. So you have no reason to seek for anything. It's in that relaxed state. It's in that realization that you are one with God, that all things are added on to you because they have always been yours. And really, it's very simple, and that's pretty much the bottom line. The idea of separation is the only problem, and the solution is the fact that it never happened. And that's what this is all about. And so, it's not that you ask for too much, it's that you ask for too little. And you needn't ask at all. All you need to do is relax, as Gina is saying. You lay back into the flow of God and trust completely. Trust is very important. You trust completely and then just let it happen. And it happens not of your will, but of God's will, because God's will is the only will, and that is your will. And it's done in God's name, which is your name. So, you know, the ego tells you you lost it, and now through your own volition, you're going to go out and get it, you wonderful, special person you. There is no one home. There is no person here. There is only God here, and there is nothing else. Thank you, Gina.
I think that's Maureen. Please take the mic.
Hi, Regina. Yeah, it is. It's Maureen. And Kate posted a question a little bit earlier. And so two things. One, I'd like to ask Kate's question as well. But first of all, I just want to tell you how much I appreciate tonight. I feel like my whole life, you know, I've kind of, well, not my whole life, just my adult life. Just the adult in me has had this confusion over, you know, what to want. I haven't really struggled too much with whether or not I could have what I wanted. What I've struggled with is knowing what I wanted. So you have really, really cleared up for me the major, major, major entrance ramp to the ego. You've blown it apart, which is really wonderful. Yahoo! Thank you for that. So my question, and I believe Kate's question was, have you posted this at your website, or is it posted on the Peace of God? And wherever it is, could you please direct me to it? I have written it down as quickly as I could as you were speaking, but I would just really love to meditate with this too. So, thank you.
Yeah, it was posted quite a while ago. I can't remember how long ago. But what I will do when I get done teaching is I will go find the link to it. It's on reginadonacres.com. I'll find the link to it, and I will post the link on the Peace of God. That way everybody who wants it will have easy access to it. How does that sound? That was an easy question. That was an easy question. Also, I wanted to comment on something that Dave said. Dave said, of course, he was quoting the Course, but he said, it's not that you ask for too much. It's that you ask for too little. And my mind has really changed regarding that paragraph from the first time I read it, because the very first time I read that paragraph in the Course, my thought was that Jesus was trying to tell me I need to ask for more money. I need to ask for the romantic relationship, that I'm not asking for those things. I ask for too little. But what I realize now, since my experience was after I watched The Secret, I did make the list of what the personality wanted, right? I made the list of what Regina really wanted, and I looked at that and realized that that wasn't it. That wasn't doing it for me, and I began to realize there's something else that I want. So if I had stuck with everything Regina wanted, making all of Regina's dreams come true within the illusion, that was asking for too little. Everything Regina wanted, everything within the illusion, was asking too little. And the only way that I learned to ask enough was to go to the Holy Spirit and say, what do I truly want? So now when I read that sentence, I understand it completely differently. The personality self has no idea what we truly want. And if we are limiting ourselves even to its highest desires within the world, we are asking for too little. Yeah, Dave, please take the mic.
Yeah, you know, it basically means here God is presenting himself to you. All the joy, the love, the peace, the never-ending bliss. And I'm saying, yeah, but can I have a house? Sure. How about the never-ending bliss? Would that be nice, too? Well, I guess. As long as I'm in never-ending bliss in a house, I guess. But, you know, what you've done tonight, Gina, and I love it, you got to write a book called The Real Secret, you know, or something. And I know that Proctor, was it Bill Proctor, one of the guys in The Secret? I have The Secret here, and when you do these special things outside of the movie where it says these special whatever they are, Bob Proctor, I was looking at it, and Bob Proctor was saying, well, you can apply this to your search for God. But, I'm going to attract God through, you know, whatever. I don't know what that was about. But, you know, when I show The Secret to my son, who is a Buddhist, he said, well, it reads like an infomercial. And I said, yeah, it does, doesn't it? And he goes, yeah. I said, there's nothing about God there. There's nothing about, you know, what we really want, what we truly want, is the oneness with God, to feel the bliss of God. All he's talking about is getting a new car for himself. And I know that Trish, who's up there in the Northwest with Raj, she wrote and she was saying, well, this just empowers the ego. That's all it does. And that's something you mentioned also, Gina, that if we think we're going out there on our own and attracting it, like the Holy Spirit told you, then all we're doing is we're empowering this idea of the separate self that has this power. And the separate self doesn't really even exist. And so that was really good feedback. I'm getting good feedback from the Holy Spirit, but that's great feedback, because it's saying, you know, it's not about this, you know, separate individual that we might think we are going out and getting these things. That's why of yourself you can do nothing. It's all being done by God, which is your true self. It's the whole thing about the Course, is to realize your oneness with God. So truly, really, if we wanted anything at all, I mean, that's to seek the kingdom of heaven, to seek our oneness with God. And then all these things would be added on to us. And as Lenny was saying earlier, we all said that by that time we wouldn't even care. We'd be totally cut loose of it all, because we have found our own inner joy and peace. I one day was traveling down the street with my son, and we looked over in a field, open field, just an open field, nothing in it. And here sat this man by himself on a box with this big grin spread across his face. And he just looked lit up, and my son kind of looked back at me like, what's that? And I looked over and I said, blessed is he who is happy sitting in an open field with nothing in his hand, you know? And really, that, you know, that was it. I said, you know what, there's a guy probably up on in the penthouse up on the most expensive building in town, as rich as you want to be, that may not be as happy as that one right there. Because it's not about things. It's about knowing yourself. And so you could have nothing at all and still be, you know, totally blissed out. And yet being totally blissed out has nothing to do with having things. I mean, you could, it could just very well be Bill Gates is totally blissed out. It doesn't matter, you know, the outward appearance has nothing to do with the reality. And truly, what we're being asked to do through the Course in Miracles is see nothing but God everywhere. So there really is no ego mind, and there really judgment of different persons, places, and things really accounts for nothing, because there is no different person, places, or things. You're looking right at God. That's what you're doing. You're looking right at God and making up other stories. We can stop that now and just see God just as He is. And who am I talking to? Me. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. Steve, please take the mic.
Yeah, when you were reading your list of things that, and then you looked at it and decided maybe that wasn't what you wanted and asked the Holy Spirit what you should want instead, it reminded me of a Course of Pathways. They talk about being a messenger of unity and peace, and I think they're paraphrasing or quoting, not quoting it directly, but they're paraphrasing, I think, the Course, where it says that you wanted to be special and you wanted to have something more than everything, and by wanting to have something more than everything, you ended up with nothing, you know? So it was kind of like, I think even earlier you said that you were very, like, successful in your business, stuff like that, but you still felt this little emptiness, or like there must be something more, because, you know, being even successful in the business world that you were in was not not really giving you the satisfaction you knew then. I think that's what, you know, Gary Renard talked about Elvis or other people, that you can seem to have everything in the world, but there's still, I think the Course even talks about that. It says that the Holy Spirit's still always there to tell you that there's something more, there's something there that's more worthwhile, there's something there that you really want, which is God's unconditional love. But until you open up to the fact and listen to the voice, or are willing to listen to that voice and surrender, you won't really know that that's what we're looking for. So, yeah, when you were looking at your list, I was just reminded me of that part where it says, we thought we wanted something more than everything, but then when we got it, we ended up with nothing. And that's just what was coming to me when I was hearing you look at your list and stuff. So thanks for letting me share. Here we go.
Thank you, Steve. And, you know, it seems like all week this week I have been closing, you know, my teachings with Scott Kleckstein. And I think tonight's not going to be any different, because he has a song that is perfect for tonight, too. Because really that very last thing I read from the Holy Spirit list, that number 5, was, you know, the Holy Spirit saying that, or telling me that, you know, that last step will be literally seen within illusion. He said with the eyes of truth, but we could also say with the eyes of God. Remember, and then it ends with, I cease to speak, you know. So Scott Kleckstein has a song called The Eyes of God. And since that was number 5 on the list, it means that is actually the truest desire at this point. The truest desire is to see within illusion with the eyes of God. So I thought it would be perfect to echo that desire by playing this song from Scott. So here we go.
Heart of God, let me breathe with the breath of God, let me live in the love of God. Let me see with the eyes of God, let me love with the heart of God, let me breathe with the breath of God, let me live in the love of God. Morning birds sing out so joyfully, and not just on fair weather days. Could they see something of learning to see, about she who is worthy of my praise. Let me see with the eyes of God, let me love with the heart of God, let me breathe with the breath of God, let me live in the love of God. Let me see with the eyes of God, let me love with the heart of God, let me breathe with the breath of God, let me live in the love of God. Dolphins leap playful from stormy seas, smiles of delight on their face. Could they know the truth that can set me free, about trusting the currents of amazing grace? Let me see with the eyes of God, let me love with the heart of God, let me breathe with the breath of God, let me live in the love of God. Heart of God, let me breathe with the breath of God, let me live in the love of God. Dolphins leap playful from stormy seas, smiles of delight on their face. Could they know the truth that can set me free, about trusting the currents of amazing grace? Let me see with the eyes of God, let me love with the heart of God, let me breathe with the breath of God, let me live in the love of God. Let me see with the eyes of God, let me love with the heart of God, let me breathe the breath of God, let me live in the love of God, let me live in the love of God.
Dove gave us Scott's website. It's www.scottsongs.com. And all week long, all of the songs that I've been playing have been from the Eyes of God CD. And, of course, that contains my very favorite song, You Guide Me, which I'm not going to play tonight. We'll bypass that because there is a little girl in the other room who's been waiting patiently for 2 hours. And I've made another promise to you all. I've got to make one more post, and then I will go and be with her. So I love you all very much. Thank you so much for coming and being with me tonight while we talked about the secret Holy Spirit style, also known as Seek Ye First the Kingdom. And I'm back on Tuesday at 2 o'clock for Holy Spirit Guides. I love you. And, yeah, Mary and Myron, I look forward to seeing you in just a few weeks in Louisiana. That's going to be great. Good night, everyone.